Johnny had his auction, which was an amazing day. And I was just thinking about my church family, and I was thinking, is there anything in this auction I could buy for everybody here? So I had a look around, and so I came up with something just so that for any of you guys that weren't here, weren't at the auction yesterday, I bought you all a gift. And by the way, it cost me not a lot of money. But it was an amazing success, the auction, and they raised a lot of money, well over 5,000, Johnny, I think. Well, 7,300, which is amazing. And Johnny and Chris both poured their hearts and their lives into doing this auction, along with a number of other people. And it was just an amazing day just to be there with Johnny and, you know, all the community of people coming. And just the opportunity to talk with people and share a wee bit about God with people, share a little bit about your faith. Because a lot of people ask me, how do you know Johnny? And so I just got the opportunity there and then just to say, well, look, here's how I know Johnny, because of church and, you know, we do life together and stuff like that. And so it was just a wonderful opportunity. I got an opportunity to pray with two people on the day. But all aside, you guys are probably wondering, what did I buy you? So I bought you something. Johnny, this is what I bought them at your auction. So I don't know how to do this. All right, I'll just do it, okay. So there was like a big, massive box of air fresheners for your car. And so I just like decided, you've got a car, have you? Yeah. And so I just decided I'd buy the whole box. And even if you haven't got it, you can hang it in the loo. And so, yeah. So they're really good, so I've hung up two of them so far, and so and Ken, one for you. And there's a few more left because it was a big box, and they all cost me a grand sum of £3. So I just thought, yeah. So hang up, you know. Think about. Just think about love, you know, think about God, or think about Johnny even, you know, he's a good ambassador for love and the way he reaches out to people and what he's done. So congratulations, Johnny, in doing what you've done, and God will. So, today, I was thinking a little bit about, you know, I was asking God during the week, what would I speak on? And I really felt that today, and, you know, as we journey in our life, and this is a phrase that I use quite regular, is journey. And I believe that our Christian life is a journey. It's not just an event that happens where we give our life to Jesus and then that's it. You know, we just hand over, just say, Jesus, come into my life, and that's it. And we just get on with our life, whatever way we please. It's a journey that we take with God. It's a journey that we take with Jesus. It's a journey with the Holy Spirit within our lives daily. And I was just thinking about that, and I was just thinking about the journey that we take. And I was thinking, you know, a lot of amazing things are happening, a lot of good things are happening in our lives. We see a lot of good stuff happening. But on the flip side of that, life can be quite challenging. And I think that as we journey, as we walk, as we go with God, I think there's three C's in our lives that God wants to, as it were, incorporate in our lives, or it's part of our journey, it's part of our thing with God. And the first one is character development. Character development in our own personal character. You know, when we give our lives to Jesus, you know, we're not just immediately all cleaned up, we're not just immediately revamped, as it were. There's development within our lives, and that's within the first C that I see, and that's character development. And that can kind of come out in a lot of different ways. You know, it can come out in our love for each other. It can come out in our patience for each other. It can come out in our outlook for the lost. It can develop in being selfless, and, you know, being more more for other people, and just generally in our character, becoming more like Jesus. Because that's the ultimate within our lives, that we develop and that we become more like Jesus. The second C is called, if what I feel, is our increase in commitment. And John really covered that well about 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you've heard that sermon, or what John spoke about, but he talked about Daniel. And we read it in the book of Daniel, where Daniel was committed to God, even if it cost him his life. And I think that as well as character development that God wants to do within our lives, he wants to increase our commitment. He wants us to be at a stage where we give our all, we give our everything, no matter what it costs us. And sometimes we come to Jesus and sometimes we hand over our lives to Jesus, or we introduce other people to Jesus and we say, your life is going to be rosy. Well, I'm sorry to be the one to put up the disclaimer on this. It's not going to be easy. And that's not to mean to say that you sit about and wait for the hard times to come. No, you live out every day with Jesus. But if hard times do come, which more than likely they do come, and the challenges come, circumstances come within our lives, be ready for them. Be ready for them like Daniel. Daniel was a person that was taken out of his own country, taken out of his own community. His family were probably killed, like his close family were probably killed, and he was placed in the palace, and yet in all, his faith in God grew. And he continually worked on it, and he continually, his commitment to God was unreal. To the extent that we know the story, that he was challenged in his faith, and he said, the famous quote that he said was, even if God doesn't turn up, and this is my paraphrasing on it, even if God doesn't turn up in this circumstance, I will still trust him. I will still follow him right to the very end. I think it was amazing. It's an amazing. And Daniel hadn't got a clue what was around the corner for him. You know, sometimes we say, I will commit to you, God. I will trust you. But I have some idea what's around the corner. For Daniel, he hadn't a notion. He hadn't a clue. And yet in all, he went through what he went through, and came out the other side. God looked after him. And that's the second C. That's where I see that God wants to increase commitment in our lives. The third C is, and this is what I want to talk about today. The third C is build courage. So we have develop character. We have increased commitment. And the third C that I want to talk about, and this is the one that I want to go on today, is build courage. God wants to build courage in your life. He wants us to be people of great courage. Thanks, Ken. Like my picture? I got it off Google. But Lucy helped me. She put it on a pen drive, of course. The Bible is full of people who overcame. And one of the main reasons that they overcame, the situations, the circumstances, the things they faced, one of the main reasons that they overcame was because they had courage within their lives. When we think about courage, we think about a lot of different things, you know, and we think about a lot of different people. You know, in the Old Testament, we have the story of Joseph. What an amazing story of a boy who was taken into slavery, and, you know, just so many things happened to him, and yet in all, he became the ruler of Egypt. He became the person that saved his own family, yet in all, his family wanted to kill him. He was a man of courage. We think of a short story like David and Goliath, where David goes down with food to the camp, and there's this big mold of a guy, 16 feet tall, tramping about, and he takes courage, and he faces the giant, and he slews the giant. And we think of Jacob and him bringing Esau up the mountain, you know, to do that sacrifice, and him knowing that he was going to sacrifice, you know, God had asked him to sacrifice. And yet and all, in the courage of what he did, he knew that God would turn up. And then we think of the greatest story that I think is the story of Jesus. The courageous one, the God coming down and being man. And going to the cross and dying for us, and taking upon us all the bad stuff, taking upon himself all the bad stuff, all the sin, all the wrongdoings that we have done, putting it upon his life so that we could have a relationship with Jesus. We have a lot to celebrate, you know, and last week, I don't know if you've got if you listened to the sermon of last week, one of the questions that Kenny asked was, what were we celebrating? It's an amazing question to ask yourself, what are we celebrating? You know, every day, ask yourself, even in the, you know, when things are going pear-shaped or off-shaped or whatever shape you'd like to call it, ask yourself the question, what is there to celebrate here? We have a lot to celebrate. You know, when we look at the lives of these people who put their, were courageous and put their trust in God and overcame. So courage. So I believe God wants to minister courage into the room. Not into the room, but into our lives. And when we say that, we say, what is it? Well, here's a couple of definitions for it. Courage, to believe it's something that may not be to believe in something that may not be physically possible. The ability to do something that frightens one, bravery. The quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulties, dangers, pain, etc., without fear. Courage is the ability to control fear in a dangerous or difficult situation. Today we're going to look at the life of Joshua, just for a few moments. And we're going to find out a few things that how God built courage within his life. So let's just turn to that. And we've got two readings. I'm so aware of time, so I've got the time clock in front of me, because I don't want to go on. Lucy has set it up here on the iPad for me, which is great. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 to 9. Joshua was the person who took over from Moses. Moses led the people up to the promised land, but because of sin an unbelief, Moses was not allowed to lead the people into the promised land. And Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. He was there. He was the guy that was sent in as one of the 12 spies him and Caleb. And he was one of the guys that came back with a good report. 10 came back with a bad report. And he was the one that came in with a good report. So we're coming near the end of Moses' life. Moses knows that he's going to die. And in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, Moses... First of all, let's see what Moses says to Joshua. Chapter 31, verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give to them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. So first of all, that's Moses commissioning Joshua. He's saying to him, you're going to take it over here, guy. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. You're going to lead this people. Now, if you read previous to this, this was a group of maybe around 4 million people, wives and children. They were a rebellious people. They weren't an easy people to lead. They were people that many times reneged against what God had asked them to do. And yet and all, and Joshua knew this. He wasn't coming green in off the field, as it were. He had been with Moses. He had been working with Moses. He knew the rebellion of the people. He was the one that stood up and said, when he was given the report of the 12 spies, he was the one that stood up and said, no, the land is good. The land is fertile that God is going to give us. And yet and all, Moses says to him, you're going to take over. I'm sure he was quaking in his boots. I wouldn't like his job. Not, well, if the money was right good, I might take it. But it wouldn't be fairly good, like. But it was a big job for him. And so Moses said to him, a little bit of time passed by, and then Moses dies after that. You read it in Deuteronomy for yourself. And then we come on to Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to go to next. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Moses is dead. He's passed away. And whatever. And so in chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross over the Jordan into the land I am giving to you, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Laban and from the great river to the Euphrates and the Hittites country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to the inheritance, the land I swore to the forefathers to give to them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gives you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Who'd love a word like that from God? That was Moses' direct word from God. Now he got a word from Moses, and I'm sure there was a period of time when he thought, am I really going to be able to do this? I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if I can do all of this. Look what's ahead of us. We still have armies to defeat. Some of the biggest armies to defeat. We've got a city of Jericho to defeat. We have to cross the Red Sea. How am I going to do this? And yet in all, God comes gently, comes alongside him and says, three times he says, be strong and courageous. It was a huge task. It was a task almost of impossibilities. And that might be you today. You might be saying, look, I'm facing some difficult stuff here. In my job, in my education, in my parenting, in my marriage, in my future career, in serving God, just in my everyday life, I'm facing some tough stuff here. I don't know if I can do it. Maybe you have to walk away from something. Maybe it's something you've got to leave off your life. And you need courage. Well, here's the beauty of it. God wants to give you courage. He wants you to be strong and courageous. He wants to build courage within your life. So here's how he did it. I've got three P's. Not free P's. I'm nothing against free P's. But this is three P's, okay? I've got this friend, and he was having dinner with these people, and he's got a family, and they're, you know, in all different types of churches, and they were sitting down, they're having dinner, and they were having like a nice roast beef dinner, and peas and carrots and all the rest of it, and the peas were quite hard, and he put his fork into the pea, and the pea, you know the way it does, it just jumps, you know, if it's too hard, it jumps, and it ran across the table, and he said, oh, free pea. And there were free peas in this thing, and they were like really offended, you know. But he didn't mean to. He just like, oh, it's a free pea. So I've got three peas, okay? Okay, so the first P is, remember three times God says this to him. He says, be strong and courageous. You read it for yourself. It's an amazing story, but we can only skip through it. So in verse 3, so the first P I have is the promise of God. Now, if I had been technical, I should have put a promise, right? Promise of God. So this is the first P to build courage within your life, is the promise of God, okay? So in verse 3, let's look at it. I will give you every place where you set your feet, as I promised Moses. This is the first promise. This is the promise that God gave Moses, or gave Joshua. He said, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. God's promise is true right to the end. The Bible is full of promises. It's full of promises for each one of our lives. And the promises of God are the pipeline to blessing in our lives. Can you visualize a pipeline? Can you visualize it? It carries material from one part to another. That's what a pipeline does. Well, a promise of God is that pipeline. It's that thing that encapsulates the blessing from God to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3 and 4, it says, and I'll just turn to it. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and goodness through our knowledge of Him who calls us by His own glory and goodness. Though He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may partake in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. God's promises are for us, and God is for us, and we started off by saying that God is so for us. But His promises are to bless us, to give us everything in life that we need to get through life. Some examples of promises, and look, you've got your own promises. God has spoke promises, has spoke verses, has spoke chapters into your life. You can maybe even think about them at the moment, but you know, some of the promises that we can hold on to, like is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says, you know, we know it backwards almost, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Trust in Him. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I promise to give rest. Now I put the promise bit in there. But God's word is true. He doesn't need to tell lies. He will give rest. Jeremiah 33, and 3, call unto me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. We don't know it all. Sometimes we want to, and sometimes we're better not knowing it. But He'll give us enough for each day. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What an amazing promise. And look, there's loads more. I've got a whole list of them here. But these are all wonderful promises within God's word. Promises for our health, for our provision, for guidance in our relationships, for the struggles of life, for, you know, understanding things, for wisdom. For everyday life, there's promises. I thought just for a moment, maybe you could just think about your own promise. I'm sure there's a scripture God has given you. I'm sure there's a verse God's given you. Maybe not recently, maybe back some time ago. But, you know, if we rush out here today, we'll maybe not think about this. So here's what I want you to do. Most of us have got our phone, okay? If you can just write down, just look up your notes, okay? Just go into your notes and just write down something or a pen and a piece of paper. And just write down something that God has promised you. Just for a moment. I'll just leave you to do that, okay? It's quite weird in the sermon, isn't it? But that's where you go. Just write down the verse that you think he gave you. You might only know the start of it or whatever. You can look it up later on. But just, God has given you a promise. I believe God gives each one of us a promise. His word is full of it. So if we're reading his word, maybe you haven't read his word in quite a while. And that's okay. I'm not here to beat you up about that. But when you did read his word back some time ago, there was a promise in it. Maybe it was when you were young, maybe when you were a child, God gave you a promise. Okay, one of the greatest promises is John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever of us believe in him won't perish, but have everlasting eternal life. That's an amazing promise. That's a promise that we stand on every day. So what about the rest of the promises? That's one we do stand on. That's one we believe in. We believe in that. If we give our hearts to Jesus, if we give our lives to him, we have eternal life. But there's a whole lot to go on between now and eternal life that we've got to live out. Let me tell you a story. In January 1848, James W. Marshall, along with his partner John Souter, were the first to discover gold in a place called Souter's Mill in California. It's a very, very famous place now. That was in 1848. Over the course of the next 2 years, over 300,000 people migrated to that part of the world in the prospect of mining gold. Today, there are millions of people have visited Pan Gold, Prospect Gold, whatever you like to call it, and look for gold. Let me tell you about James W. Marshall, who discovered that gold at Souter's Mill, died penniless and drunken. His find didn't do him any good. Why? Although James knew where the gold was, and he had found small amounts of it, he had never successfully bothered to file a claim to it. And thousands upon thousands of Americans came to the area and pushed him off it. You know, it's one thing to find the gold, but you've got to stake your claim on it. It's one thing to find your promise, but you've got to stake your claim on it. If you don't, the floods of this life, the cares of this world, every situation and circumstances will flood your mind and push you off, push that promise completely out of your mind. You've got to stake it. You've got to hold it. You've got to mind it. Mind it and mine it till you see that promise fulfilled in your life. Don't be like Marshall. Don't just find the promise. Stake the claim for the promise. Whatever that promise is, stake the claim. Build courage in your life with the promises that God has given you. Because when the hard times come, when the challenges come, you need to have something to stand on. If you don't, you'll be like a tossing ship in the wind. You'll be going backward and forward, up and down. Think about the promise that God has given you. The second thing is the presence. And I've got 10 minutes. Right. The presence is the second thing. So the first thing is promise. To build courage in life, first thing is promise, second thing is presence. Verse 9 of Joshua, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. So here was God's promise to Joshua, I will go with you wherever you go. You know, it was one thing for God to say to Joshua, here's a bit of a job I've got for you. Moses is dead. Here's the instruction, go and do it. But that's not what God said. God said, Moses is dead. Here's the job. And I'm going with you to do it. I thought that was brilliant, myself. It reminds me of the story of when we were up on the North Coast, when we started to go up first, we had a friend up there, and he was like totally mad about cliff jumping. Like, he was bananas about it. And a really good guy, really nice guy, loves the Lord with all his heart. But we met him in the cafe, and we hadn't a clue about this cliff jumping at all. And so we were sitting eating ice cream, and he says, what about taking the girls cliff jumping? And like we're just like, what? Yeah, you need to get wetsuits and you need to get life jackets, and there's a few cliffs out on the far side of Port Stewart, and you'll just have a fabulous time, you know. And the girls will really love it. It'll just be fabulous. And he started talking about heights and the height that you're jumping, and like he was talking about 16 foot or 18 foot around that sort of a jump, and I was thinking two story building, standing on the top of it, jumping. That's like, oh no. And he went on and talked about it. And as he went on and talked about it, we had the girls, and their eyes just began to light up, you know. Yeah, let's do this, yeah. And like, you're just like thinking, oh no, no way. Like, can we change the conversation? Let's talk about sheep, or just talk about something different, or shopping, or do something else, or a nice ice cream. And then at the end of the conversation, he says, I'll tell you what, I'll go with you tomorrow. Well, that just made it like a whole lot easier. It didn't make it completely easy, but it made it a whole lot easier. The fact that he not only told us about the cliff jump, but he said he would come with us. And that was the same for Joshua, I'm sure. Joshua was given a big commission, but at the end of it, God said, or towards the end of it, God says, don't worry, I'll go with you and help you on this one. It's a big task, all right, but here, why not? I haven't much else to do. But he had plenty of other things to do, of course. But he said, you know, I'll go with you. God doesn't leave us. He doesn't expect us to go on our own. There was only one time that I can find in the Bible, and it's back in Exodus, where God told Moses that he would not go with him. There was a time in Exodus chapter 33 where Moses came down off the mountain and they'd built this big calf thing, and Moses was in a bit of a rage, and he broke the tablets, and the people were just rebellious, and everything went pear-shaped, and God did get angry, and God said, I'll send my angel with you. I'm not going with you, but I'll send my angel. And you can read the story for yourself, and it says that Moses talked to God, and God changed his mind and said, okay, I will go with you. And that's the only time recorded in the Bible that God changes his mind, that he said he wouldn't go with him, that he would send an angel. God's promises are true. In Matthew 28 and 20, the Great Commission, Jesus said to the disciples, I am with you to the end of the age. Not to the end of his time. He didn't say, I'm with you till I'm out of here. He said, I'm with you till the end of the age, until eternity begins. And that promise still stands today. God is with us. You've got to know that. Someone used to say to me, you've got to know it deep down in your knower, that God is with you. God is for you. You've got to settle that in your mind. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're faced or what you're facing, you've got to know that God is for you. If you don't, you'll be all over the place on this one. You've got to know that he is with you and he is for you. It's okay to have your moments of doubt. I was reading this story this week, and I just thought to myself, I'll just throw this in. It's okay to have your moments of doubt. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 18, it tells the story of John the Baptist. John was in prison, and he sent the disciples to Jesus. Now, remember, John was the forerunner for Jesus. He was the one that baptized Jesus. He was the one that was there when Jesus was baptized in the river, and the heavens opened, and the glory of God came down upon him. John was there when all of this happened. And yet and all, in Luke chapter 7, verse 18, it says, it records that John was in prison. And he sent two disciples to Jesus. And he said to them, ask them, are you really who you say you are? Or is there someone else? You see, John was in prison. He was in the moments of trial. He was in a very difficult place. He knew that he was going to get the chop. And he had that moment of doubt. And thankfully, if you read the story, it went on to say that Jesus reassured them to go back to John and tell him that I am who I am. That I'm doing what I said I'd do. And when you're in the moment of trial, when you're in the moment of anguish, it's okay to ask God and say, I'm struggling here. Because God will assure you. He will assure you that he is who he is. Just like Jesus assured John, he was who he was. Read the story for yourself in Luke chapter 7 and verse 18. Believe it. His presence continually goes with us. The last P is previous works. It's promise, presence, previous work. This is three ways God was building courage into the life of Joshua. Verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I said at the beginning, Joshua, and I'll just rush through this. Joshua has traveled, had done co-leadership with Moses for a part of the time. He had traveled the journey. He knew, he had heard the stories. He had seen how they had crossed the Red Sea. He had seen how God had provided for them in the wilderness with manna. He had seen how God protected them. He had seen armies being defeated. He had seen many things happening. And God was bringing this to his mind. He was saying, as I was with Moses through all of those challenges, through all of those difficulties, I'll be with you. And here's what I think God's saying. I think God's saying for us as people to build courage within our lives, we need to look back at our own lives. We need to look back at our own lives and see what God has already done. You might say, I don't have a lot to look back on. You have something to look back on. Believe you me, if you sit down and think about it, you have a lot to be thankful for. You've got air in your lungs. You've got health. You've got family. You've got provision. You've got home. You've got education. You've got all of the things in life that you need. You've got friends and people around you that love you. But more than that, you've been through challenging times already. You've been through difficulty. You've seen God's hand at work. You know, I can list 10 events in my own life where I've seen God miraculously do things with health, and Lucy was one of them, Julie was another time, you know. But there was also times when we didn't get the answer that we wanted, but God was still there and we knew his presence. And just as God was building courage in the life of Joshua through looking back at previous examples, previous works, he wants to do the same in your life. He wants you to look back. He wants you to not forget the past victories that he has done. Because to you they might seem small. They might seem maybe even insignificant. But believe you me, when you were going through them, they were big things. They were big challenges. Sometimes when we look back on things and we think, oh yeah, that's right, God did that. I'm telling you, when you were in the middle of it, you were sweating and you were calling for God. And God answered, and he came through. So that's it, three P's. Promise, presence, previous works. And I really feel that God wants to build that into our lives this morning. He wants to build courage in our lives through those three P's. He wants us to be able to step out and step in to what God has in store for us. You see, the remarkable thing about these stories in the Bible was No matter what story you went through, no matter whose life you look at within the Bible, there was always a time when people had the choice to step forward or step back. There was always free will, and there still always will be free will. And that's the same today. In every circumstances, when you feel God's calling, you have either the choice to step forward or step back. God wants you to be courageous. And he wants you to step forward, and he wants to see his kingdom come in your life and in the life and in the community of the people around you. And you are the light. You are the salt of the community that you live within. You are the hope to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors. You're the hope to the people that live close within you. And we've got to be people of courage. We've got to be people of commitment. We've got to be people that are being developed in our character. We've got to allow all these things work. But today, I feel God wants to build courage in your life. So if you'd like to stand with me. We're at 12:15, so for a couple of minutes, here's what we're going to do. For some of you this morning, it's the promise thing. God has given you a promise, and you haven't seen it come to pass yet. And he wants you to hold on. That's basically what he's saying. It's going to come to pass. Keep believing it. Keep putting your stake in it. Keep claiming it. It will come to pass, but you've got to claim it. You've got to go for it. So whatever that promise is, you've got to hold on to it. Write it on your forehead. Write it on the bathroom mirror. Write it on the front windscreen of the car. Write it wherever you can see it. And every time you see it, claim it. Whatever that promise is. Whether it's for health, whether it's for finance, whether it's for relationships, difficulties, whatever it is, you've got to claim it. So that's one group. The second group is, or I think this is one, maybe two people. You're not sure if God's with you. I think you're like that person with the daisy, and you're plucking the petal off, and you're saying, he loves me, he loves me not. You've got to know that God loves you, and today he wants to tell you he loves you, and he wants to bring it into your life. He wants you to have a real encounter with him. And thirdly, I think there's people here, and you just need to look back. You just need to take a wee look at your life, even over the last week, what God has done. There's no time scale on this. God could have done an amazing thing in your life even today. Maybe you've had a rotten week, and today you've seen God's hand at work. God wants to build courage in your life. So if that's either of you three, any of those three categories, I'm going to pray. I just want you to hold out your hands if you want to respond to any of them. I don't want to put anybody under any kind of pressure. If you're looking for the promise, if you're not sure about his presence, if you just need to recap on previous things, just put out your hands and just receive from God. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to increase your presence this moment. Just minister into the lives and the hearts of each person here. Speak into the hearts, Lord. That promise, Lord, that you have given people, we pray, that it'll come to pass. Give us the tenacity to hold on to you, to hold on to the promise. Help us to stake our claim. Father, for those of us that maybe are not sure whether you love us or not, whether your presence is really with us, whether you're for us or not, pray that you'll give a special encounter with yourself. Help us to know that you love us and you are totally for us. And for those of us this morning, the Lord, that just need to recap, just give us that time and that space just to recap what you've done in our lives and what you're doing. Father, we pray that we be people of great courage and that there'll be stories of great courage that we've done for you. Thank you, Father, that you want us to be people that are courageous. And thank you that we are people that are courageous in the fact that we've accepted you into our lives. We pray that that's just the beginning. Thank you for your presence in the room. Amen. Thank you, guys. I look forward to hearing some great stories of courageous things happening.